Area Voices tells the arts, the culture, and the history stories of northern Minnesota, and sometimes history is actually in the making, what we're reporting on. This past weekend was eye-opening for our country as we watched members of the KKK and neo-Nazis and white supremacists taking to the streets in Charlottesville during what they call the Unite the Right rally. And by the time the weekend was over, we saw three people had died, more than 25 had been injured and wounded as a result of the events. And this week, as we've been hearing this morning in the news, across the country, Americans are gathering in protest to those activities that we saw over the weekend. And in Bemidji, people will be gathering tonight at 5 p.m. at the Green Mill. And Dan Gannon is here in the studio. He's one of the organizers of Bemidji's Unite Against Hate March. And good morning, Dan. Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, morning, Katie. Morning, Maggie. Thanks for having me.
What was it about this weekend's events that pushed you to create this march of solidarity?
I think it's the increasing brazenness of white supremacists in the country right now. I've been involved in anti-racist and anti-fascist organizing for over 25 years in Minnesota and in the upper Midwest. And during that time in the late 80s and through the 90s and the beginning of the 2000s, it was groups I was involved in were very successful at keeping the white supremacist movement very small, keeping it out of the public eye. Anywhere they went, we would go and challenge them. We would have a presence in the streets and counter any action they tried to do. If we found out where white supremacists worked, we would contact their work. We would canvass their neighborhoods. We would make life very uncomfortable for them to be public with these views, to be out and organizing and building their movement. Well, now that's happening. Those movements are growing. As we saw, I mean, it was stunning to see hundreds and hundreds of Nazis with torches marching through the streets in one of the cities in our country. It's horrible. And so they've been able to have this space now. And I think obviously elements in the government are very supportive of them, as we heard from the president's comments yesterday, where he's equivocating white supremacy with people who are against racism and saying they're both basically the same. This is not at all the same thing, right? People that are against racism want to live in a society where it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter who you're attracted to, what your sexuality is. It doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what your religion is. If you're coming with love and respect and that's how you handle yourself in the community, then anti-racists are right there with you. That's who we are as anti-racists. That's the community and the society we want to live in. And so for the president to equivocate these two things, one that's like a violent, extremist, hateful group with another group that's opposed to that, is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. And so now these movements are growing. And so, yeah, we saw in Charlottesville the level of violence, the level of organization, and the attempts of these groups that often infight with each other. All these white supremacist groups, they bicker relentlessly, and they've struggled for decades and decades to get any kind of cohesion in their movement. And now they're starting to get a little bit of traction, and maybe not just a little bit. It looks like they're getting a lot from what we saw in Charlottesville, and now they want to do one in Richmond in another month or so. So they're feeling empowered. They're feeling emboldened. The hoods have come off, right? Mm-hmm. There's no more masks. They're not hiding their faces. I mean, some of them start crying on the internet, "Oh, why'd you take my picture? I'm not an angry racist." Well, you marched down the streets with Nazis. That's on you. And we live in the internet world now, and people are going to expose you. And don't start crying about your choices, right? We hope a lot of those people will think deeply about the movement they're involved in and reconsider and get out of that. It happens quite often. You run into old racist skinheads and white supremacists and KKK members who dropped out of those movements and become organizers and activists as anti-racists. And yeah. So, you know, we can only hope that a number of those people will do that, because it's not just older people. It's a lot of young college-age people there in those movements. And so when we saw that happening in Charlottesville, to me, it's not an isolated incident. To me, it's not something new in the United States of America. It's just bigger and more in our face right now and more threatening, but it's not new. And I think whether it's in Minnesota or in Seattle or Portland, or as we saw in Charlottesville, these things, or in Bemidji here, these things have the potential to kick off anywhere in our country. And I think if you don't look at what happened in Charlottesville and think of, like, well, we just had the mosque bombing in Bloomington, right? That was just a couple weeks ago. Like, things are happening here in our own state. okay? And I think it's very dangerous to put your head in the sand and think, well, that wouldn't happen here. And so the idea for the march is to get people together. I know there's probably some cynicism about being involved in a march. Oh, another march. What is that going to accomplish? Well, in my mind, it's going to accomplish, you know, one of the goals of the and messages of the march is love and unity. And I think if we can gather together and look at each other and say, oh, yeah, you're with me too, right? You're an anti-racist. Yes, you, this is what you stand for in this community, and start to develop a sense of we have each other's backs, okay? And so show that solidarity, be out there together, and have confidence in ourselves and our ability to withstand, whether it's bad jokes at work, racist jokes at work, whether it's policies that state or local governments might be enacting, whether it's our prison system, whether it's any number of things where racism is enacted in our own communities, that we need to start addressing them, especially as white people. I think white people tend to want to have people of color speak about racism and tell them about racism. Well, now, when you see hundreds and hundreds of white Nazis marching through the streets, like, the responsibility is on white people to address that. So whether it's your crazy uncle in your family who espouses, you know, hateful rhetoric, well, now is the time not to shrug your shoulders and walk away anymore. But now is the time to have serious conversations with that person and let them know exactly how you feel and take a stand. We can no longer just look the other way.
So that leads me to one of my questions. Was what do people do when the march is over, and they go? We do go back to our regular lives, and we notice something. What maybe it is the uncle who's got a viewpoint that counters ours, or it is an office place joke that is inappropriate in today's society. How do we counter that?
I think you have
successfully.
To speak, well, successfully, you know, it's a. In some ways, it's a long game. Like, you have to say the thing. You have to say, oh, man, that's wrong. That's not funny. Like, that's not funny. You can't say that. I don't agree with that. That's offensive. You have to address it. And so I think that's always the first step, you know, and there's a saying right now in the activist world of become woke, right, where you've become awakened to yourself as a political person, or yourself as someone out in society who cares for other people, who cares for people regardless of their skin color, or who loves them because of their skin color. You know, like the whole love seasonal color thing, that's ridiculous. Like, we're not blind. We see skin color. We know what it is, and we have to respect and love people for who they are. And so I think to start with these conversations is minimally the first step for sure. And, you know, we organized this march on Sunday, just three days ago, right? So it's been a rush. It's been hectic to get this organized. And so next steps, we just haven't had the time to think what would be the next steps. I would highly recommend trying to plug into the Truth and Reconciliation group here in town that Anton Troyer and Lindsay McMurrin run out of Peacemakers and out of the university. They have monthly events where they get people together to discuss race issues in our town. And I think that would be a great place to start, you know, but you have to start at home. You have to become woke. You have to have those conversations with family members and coworkers when they're saying things that are offensive or shrugging it off as like, I was just kidding. And well, those days are done, because that just kidding, that just that little bit of space that they create to be able to say an offensive joke or be able to say something offensive about people of color, well, then they have that space and you're just going to give it to them if you don't challenge that. And you have to challenge it.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about intolerance or racial or sexual discrimination that you've witnessed or that you know of that has happened right here in the Bemidji area?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the more disturbing things right now happening in town, and again, I think a lot of people will just shrug their shoulders and sort of be like, well, it's just a flag. You know, there's a number of pickup trucks. It's not just one that are driving around with the Confederate flag and the U.S. flag. To me, that seems very confusing, both those flags together. I don't get that myself. And even if it was just a Confederate flag, like, okay, if you're going to run that heritage argument, well, you're from the North Woods, boy. Like, no. You know, and that heritage argument, I think, is a pretty weak argument anyways. But it's very weak when you're about 5,000 miles away from, you know, the Macon County, Georgia, or wherever, you know, like, so that alone, like, people will say, well, that's free speech. They can drive around in their trucks and do that. Fine. Okay. They can. But what's been happening, some of those people in those trucks have been saying racial slurs from their truck when they drive by, sexist remarks of like, lift up your shirt, show us what you got kind of things. And so they, again, are now feeling emboldened. They're not just parading around with a flag. They're verbally harassing people. And I guarantee you what's going to come after verbal harassment is going to be physical attacks. If they're not in some way addressed, if it's their own family members or other people in the community who know them, don't start challenging them and saying, this is not okay, we can't have this here. You know, if you want to have your little flag party, whatever, but if you start harassing people, that's okay, there's a line there. There's a line there, and that has to stop.
Tell us more about the march. What's going to happen and when and the logistics?
Yep, the march is at 5 o'clock today, rain or shine. It's supposed to rain this afternoon, and, you know, the fascists would march in the rain, so the anti-fascists and anti-racists are going to be out there in the rain. It's just water, right? It's just water. And we'll be meeting at the walking and bike path along the south end of the lake by the Green Mill parking lot, or you can also park in the Nymor boat access lot there, too. You can park there. But you'll see us gathered together, and we're going to have a couple speakers. I think we might have someone reading a poem, and we'll just gather together, talk about the purpose of the march, the things I've been saying here this morning, love and unity, becoming more actively anti-racist in your day-to-day life as a white person, and figuring out where to get plugged into things in Bemidji here that you can be involved in. And so we're going to gather there, and we're going to march along the lakefront, along the path. We have a bunch of signs and banners. We had a really fantastic banner-making party yesterday. A whole bunch of people showed up, people I don't know who they are. They just came to the Rail River Folk School, and we have tons of signs. So if you don't have a sign to bring or any kind of thing like that, we have signs there that we can hand you. And then we'll get Paul and Babe. We'll be the end of the march, and we'll have a wrap-up. We'll have a couple more speakers, possibly another poet, and that's it. And so, again, Katie, like leaving the march, we don't have an action item after that, right? It's just been too soon and too quick. And so right now, we just want to get people together. We want to get people together. And like I said, look at each other, know who we are, and say, well, these people here right now, we're taking a stand. And so we have to know that out in the Bemidji community, these same people will continue to take action, minimally individually, right? They're going to go home and become woke, right? They're going to start acting more and more against racism and against any form of oppression. So,
Dan, I assume that you have a sign. What is your sign going to say?
Well, my sign, I have a banner. The banner is going to be Bemidji Stands Against White Supremacy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we live in a community that's heavily populated by Native Americans, right? And I think you don't have to ask very difficult questions of Native people about their experiences under white supremacy. The list is long. The list is long, and they're fully aware of it. And so I think, again, us as white people, it can be so easy to not even understand that that's an actual thing, or to think of it as something that's just far in the past, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not. It's still being enacted here today. And, and certainly from the leadership of our country is being emboldened.
Yeah, and there's so much we can do just from a individual level, at our kitchen tables, even talking with our children and speaking up when we see something, an injustice somewhere. I mean, my daughter and I had a conversation in the car after I thought I noticed some injustice happening at a store we were at just mm-hmm. two nights ago. Mm-hmm. And we got out to the car and we had a big conversation. And it's about putting it out there, I think. And then mm-hmm. the next generation and other people will.
It's challenging. You know, I think there's a culture in Minnesota, whether you want to call it Minnesota nice or whether it's that Scandinavian ancestry thing where people are kind of tight-lipped and don't want to stick their neck out. And this is an issue where you have to stick your neck out. You have to. You just have to say something. If someone's getting followed in the store because of the color of their skin, you have to challenge that and just step to the store person and say, why are you following them and not me? I'm just as likely to shoplift, right? I'm just as likely to try and steal something as they are, but you're following that brown skin person. Why are you doing that? You know, and just challenge that. And that will, believe me, it doesn't always work, but most of the time it does work. They will stop and be like, no, I wasn't. Or yeah, I don't know. Or you talk to a manager and then start to pressure that store of like, well, this is what I see every time I come to this store is you're following this certain group of people, but not people that look like me with light skin.
Yeah.
You know? And just real quickly, you know, I want to say rest in peace and rest in power to Heather Heyer. Heather Heyer was the woman that was killed in Charlottesville. And she was a young, I think she was 32 years old, a young woman who came out on the streets that day to defend her community and to stand up against white supremacists. And I just want to say rest in peace to that woman.
Thank you for bringing her name up. That's really important. So conversations like that can be uncomfortable. You might get a reaction of a bristling from somebody when you bring something up, but mm-hmm. I think it's important for people to remember that they've planted a seed. After that happens, then hopefully we'll change some thinking to acceptance and tolerance.
Indeed, indeed. So again, rain or shine, we'll be out there 5 o'clock. We'll probably be hanging around the walkway in front of Green Mill for 20 minutes to half an hour. So if you're late, still come over there. We're going to have shuttles. So some people are going to park their cars by Paul and Babe. So if your car is parked over at the boat launch lot or at Green Mill and you march all the way over to Paul and Babe, we're going to have people that can shuttle you back to get you back to your car if you have any kind of concerns about I can't walk that far. Again, if you're not able to march at all, please meet us at one of the at the beginning or the end. Please meet us at Paul and Babe or start with us at Green Mill. And it's great. We have spots, 3 or 4 spots for childcare too. So if it's something you don't want to, aren't comfortable bringing your kids on, or maybe they're infants and it's pouring rain, okay? So go to the United Against Hate Facebook page, and we have the volunteer person on there who's going to do childcare. But it's, like I said, it's about 3 or 4 slots. She's willing to take that many kids. So
great.
Yeah.
That's the Unite Against Hate March tonight in Bemidji. Like Dan just said, it starts near the Green Mill. It'll walk south end of the lake over to Paul and Babe. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Dan, for coming in.
Yeah, yeah. And thanks for having me in, and I hope to see everyone out there tonight.
Thanks for the work you're doing.
There's a great and a bloody fight around this whole world tonight. The battle, the bombs and shrapnel rain. Hitler told the world around he would tear our union down, but our union's gonna break them slavery chains, and our union's gonna break them slavery chains. I walked up on a mountain in the middle of the sky, could see every farm and every town. I could see all the people in this whole wide world. That's the union that'll tear old Hitler down. As the Union, it'll chase us down. When I think of the men and the ships going down while the Russians fight on across the Don, there's London in ruins and Paris in chains. Good people, what are we waiting on? Good people, what are we waiting on? Yes, I thank the Soviets and the mighty Chinese vets, allies the whole wide world around. To the battling British, thanks, you can have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down. But when I think of the ships and the men going down while the Russians fight on across the Don, there's London in ruins and Paris in chains. Good people, what are we waiting on? Good people, what are we waiting on? So I thank the Soviets and the mighty Chinese vets, allies the whole wide world around. To the battling British, thanks, you can have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down.